Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to yet another Be Our Guest Podcast Trip Report Show. We are so glad you're here on your Monday to kick off another week here in January. Today, we sit down with Jess. She's out in New Jersey, and we talk about her fun trip to Walt Disney World last month. They stayed off-site, but they had a fun day at Epcot, a couple of great days at Disney Springs, and we talk about some interesting places to eat off-site and on. We talk Homecoming, we talk Sanaa, we talk visiting Wilderness Lodge and eating at Whispering Canyon and so forth. But we also talk about Gatorland. I had to get excited because I'm always curious about Gatorland. Lots of fun Disney conversation in the show today. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all your travel needs over at themagicforless.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys make this show possible, and I could not do it without you. Thank you so very much. If you'd like to become a patron to get some extra content in your week, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1,835 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and of course, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Well, let me just say, we're busy like beavers. It's January's called Wave Month because everybody gets their vacation days, I think, in January. Well, everybody that has a real job, you know, like a job that has normal benefits, normal schedules, normal stuff. I don't know anything about that. I just go whenever I can. But yeah, so I think a lot of folks are getting excited to get out of the house and get down to some warm destinations in 2021, even if it is in the summer or later. But we appreciate your support. We're having a good time over at the Magic for Less, planning great trips for guests, and sure appreciate that. So today, speaking of warm places and great vacations, we're going to be talking about just that as we do every Monday. And today, imagine this, we're heading out to New Jersey. No kidding, I think we have a direct pipe to New Jersey. All of our guests lately, we have the market cornered in the Garden State, I believe it is. So Jess is joining us. I'm trying to show off a little geographic knowledge today. Jess, thanks for coming on. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. I can't believe I'm here and we squeezed in a last minute 2020 trip.
That's right. I know. Everything that we get to do at this point is kind of gravy. You know, just vacations in 2020, you know, just a few weeks ago, and it's still the same here in 2021. Not much has changed yet, but, you know, a grocery store excursion seems like what it would have been like. Oh, it's a weekend getaway. I'm going to the produce section or something. It's a weird time.
I hear that.
So what about New Jersey? Like, how is it there? Because I'm in the Midwest. It's, you know, some places kind of business as normal, some places not so much, depending on what county you're in. How are things going where you are?
Yeah, we certainly have had our ups and downs. We were hit hard right in the beginning and, you know, everything shut down quick. Started to get better a little bit over the summer. Definitely in the second wave, but the schools are holding strong. I work at a school. We're about to open up back in person tomorrow. My kids actually started going back in person every single day starting this week. So fingers crossed that we're turning the corner.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's funny that you mentioned that because, well, my daughter has been in person all year, every day. Like, it's business. They wear masks and stuff, but in-person learning all the time. But my wife's been virtual school all year, right behind this, you know, right behind Spaceship Earth behind me in Paige's bedroom, actually, while she's out of town. But yeah, right now she's watching the Board of Education meeting because they're making the big call on if they're going back. So if I hear a shriek during the show, that's I don't know. We'll see how it goes. She's watching to find out what her future is for the rest of the year. All right, let's talk about your trip in December. But before we do that, let's talk about your background with Disney. So give us, you know, what makes you listen to a Disney podcast? What makes you a big Disney fan?
Sure. So I did not grow up as a big Disney parks fan. My grandparents both were from Southeast Florida. We were definitely in Florida a lot, but probably only visited the parks maybe twice in my upbringing. So it wasn't until I had my own family. I was heavily influenced by my cousins who are DVC, AP, holders, and I just watched them bringing their kids. I said, I think I want that. So started planning that first trip around the time my son was turning 5. My daughter was 3. She was hitting that princess stage. Yep. Frozen was a really big deal on repeat constantly. And I said, I think we're ready. During that year of planning, definitely had guides along the way, but not podcasts or blogs or online research yet, just, you know, friends and family. At that same time, like I'm learning and hearing from many guests, my mom was going through a cancer battle, and you know, she lost it a couple months before our trip. And when we got down to Disney, we walked on Main Street for the first time. There was this sense of, my family's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And the magic of Disney or what, just seeing the smiles on the kids' faces, we knew, and I knew, that this was going to be part of our lives. So being from Jersey, we went down Jersey Week 2016. We went 4 consecutive Jersey Weeks all the way through 2019, fully planned and hoped to do it again in 2020, and it didn't happen. Wasn't sitting well with me, at least. So luckily we squeezed in a Christmas week, last minute trip, and got our 2020 trip in.
Well, a couple things about that. First of all, for folks that aren't from Jersey, I can just give you my perspective from being from the Midwest. You know, we're very far removed from the East Coast. You know, and a lot of folks do travel. I've never been to New York City except for, I've been to Philadelphia, went to a Phillies game one night. My dad's buddy was playing for the Phillies at the time. So we drove from Florida to Philly. We passed through Washington, D.C. So I've been on the East Coast, but I was like in 5th grade, don't remember hardly anything. But the thing is, like, you know, the way I picture Jersey Week is that everybody in the state of New Jersey must get like a save the date magnet for their refrigerator, right? Okay, Jersey Week this week is, you know, November or whatever to what. We'll see you in Florida, you know, and there's your ticket next to it. Now, I don't know how that goes, but I mean, no kidding. Like, it is, I used to think it was like a myth or, you know, something people said, oh, yeah, Jersey Week, you know, a couple people go. No, when I talk to anybody from Jersey, like, oh, yeah, we go. It's like, it's a serious thing. And then, you know, more importantly, how you mentioned that feeling of going down Main Street. This is why I love doing this podcast, and especially the Monday trip reports, because every trip, even if you go a bunch of times, you know, I've gone a bunch of times, but every trip has its own personality. It has its own kind of a life of its own, and it kind of, you know, denotes a part of your life, you know, as a time in your life. And that's good that, you know, while your mother was fighting cancer and didn't win the battle, that you guys got to rally together as a family, and that probably made the trip all the more important.
It totally did. And we evolved with every trip we took. You know, we added a park each time. We were taking baby steps, and you know, I've learned a lot along the way and found your podcast along the way, and it was super helpful.
So tell me about your kids. Now, do they tend to like watch, how do you keep Disney going at home? Because, you know, 99% of the time we're at home is Disney fans. We don't get to the destinations as much. So how do you bring Disney into your everyday life, especially for the kids?
Yeah, I mean, my daughter, she's 8 now. While the princess phase sadly is leaving her, she still gets really excited for new releases. She was so excited because on the plane, I was actually able to download Soul. Nice. And she was so excited to see that. My son, he has admitted, but everything changes once we're there, he has admitted that he's getting a little too old for Disney. Oh. But I swear, once we're there, he is that little boy again. And my husband and I both remarked that it's so wonderful to see how happy he is there. And as I'm sure many people agree, you grow into the trips. I mean, he loves the big rides. He loves pin trading. He loves hidden Mickeys. A highlight of this trip was the Olaf scavenger hunt around Epcot. So the kids grow into it. We make a photo book every year. I just got my 2020, I termed it the pandemic version, photo book, and it's out on display. We have the Disney magic candle scents. Nice. At home. I have a nice collection of the scents from around the parks. So, yeah. And I always tell them about what's up and coming. And they're excited for Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy and Ratatouille. So I keep them informed.
Yeah, I get your sign. Because I used to teach sixth grade, so you know that age range, and it's okay. Like once you're there to ride the roller coasters and have a blast and have a good time. But you might want to tell your buddies back home, you know, when you're at that age. And it's very true. I mean, you know, I'm past the point where I care. You know, I tell people I'm a Disney fan. I don't care if they like it or not. That's how it is. It's who I am. So anyway, let's hop into your trip. So you guys usually go down Jersey Week, which is November. You guys went right at Christmas time. We're actually there for Christmas. So talk to us about, did you have any concerns about going over the actual holiday? Because you guys, looks like you flew out on Christmas Eve and stayed till New Year's.
Yeah. I mean, I would have never in my lifetime imagined going this week. The crowds are big enough that Jersey Week, Veterans Weekend, that I would stay away from this week all the time. But time was running out for 2020. Watching reports, reading reports of people going, and crowds were low. So I said, let's give it a shot. My father does live in Florida. We haven't seen him in a year. So we did want to make this trip to see him, which was nerve-wracking in and of itself, mm-hmm. to see someone and possibly be bringing a virus with us. So that was concerning, but, you know, we did our best to stay safe. And then we did rent off-site. We thought maybe, you know, having our own space could help with everything. As we get into the trip report, we did only go to Epcot and Disney Springs this trip, as well as some hotels for restaurants. And we picked Epcot because I thought maybe the crowds would be lower. The concern was there. And as we get into it, my son did get sick one of the days and we did end up in an urgent care. Luckily it was not COVID. It was hard to escape that thought of what happens if someone does get sick, what are we going to do? But we had a rental car. We knew we could drive home if we absolutely had to. So, we decided to go for it.
Yeah, it is one of those things. I mean, it's really it's a delicate balance. I mean, in 2020 and in 2021 still, you know, we want to see our loved ones, got to be safe, got to make good choices. But, you know, what I've always said is you just got to do what you feel is best for your situation and what your tolerance is for risk. I mean, there's a risk in crossing the street, right? There's a risk in getting on an airplane in 2018. You know, there's just... You know, we got to do what we can for ourselves and for our family and for even, you know, just society in general. But everybody's just got to be careful. And it's good that you considered all those things and decided to head down. Now, let me ask you about this. You guys flew down on Christmas Eve. Kind of kids looking out the window for Santa or what's going on there?
So we don't celebrate
okay.
Christmas.
Okay.
So it was an okay time to go. We're in Jersey. We have everything under the sun here. And you know, most of their friends celebrate Christmas and they're always wondering, why can't we celebrate Christmas? So they knew this was a special thing for them to do during this time, especially to be able to see their grandpa on Christmas Eve into Christmas Day. So even though we weren't celebrating the holiday, we still were celebrating something
absolutely.
Very special. But the airport was crowded Christmas Eve. Very,
really?
Very crowded.
That,
that was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that either.
Huh. Yeah, very crowded in Newark, at least.
Okay, cool. All right, so now you guys flew into, looks like you guys were down in Palm Beach, and then that first full day that you're there, you go from your townhome, and you guys drive up to Walt Disney World, and you had dinner at Sanaa. So walk us through that first day. You don't go to a park. You go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani, to have Sanaa's a great meal. Because what I like about Sanaa, though, too, is that it's not just a meal. Like, the kids, I always say the kids, but I'm the biggest kid. Like, you can see the animals, you know, and the lodge is just fun to be there. You know, I think it's a great call. And I mean, Christmas Day, even though you guys don't celebrate, it's a great time. Maybe, I don't know, what was it like?
Yeah, so I wanted to do something special. It was our first night. It was Christmas. And Animal Kingdom Lodge was where we spent our first two trips. So it definitely holds a place for us. So we went to Sanaa. Probably because I did want to have the bread service one more time. That was the driving force. I didn't know how much the kids would find something to eat, but there's always a kids menu, and they did fine. And they have a wonderful dessert that the kids will remember, the Pumbaa's grub. You know, it looks like a whole bunch of dirt with gummy worms in it. But the bread service, honestly, that's probably all we needed to order. It was delicious. And even the kids loved it. They thought it was pretty cool to get that. And the servers were so happy. You could tell the people around us were just so happy to be there. So I'm really happy we did that on a special holiday.
Yes. And I will say that you mentioned the bread service. I have to giggle because I've been at a table where we've ordered two full bread services in all 9 days. So yes, wow. You don't have to convince me that yes, it is worth all of the, what's worth the trip for the bread service. All right. I want to make sure we get to all this. So the next day you guys go over to Disney Springs. So again, there's a lot more going on during the holiday season at Disney Springs, some extra events. And so walk us through, especially like with the kids. I mean, do the kids like the atmosphere of the shopping? Because I was kind of a kid, don't take me to somewhere where they're shopping. But I mean, also Disney would be better than like going to the mall. So how'd that go? Yeah.
So we in all four trips, previous trips, we had never been. So I really didn't know how the kids would like it. And surprisingly, it wound up being both of their favorite places.
Wow.
First off, it was freezing. We were in winter coats. We were in hats. Not thrilled with that, but I knew to rope drop Disney Springs due to the crowd. So we got there super early. We got such a great spot in the Lime Garage. And we made a beeline to the Lego store, which had no line yet. They were in awe. I mean, yes. You know, the Maleficent Dragon and the Dragon in the Lake, they were in awe. And then we got right in line for World of Disney. It still was about a 10-minute wait. And immediately, again, my 10-year-old son, who's usually too cool for school, back to being a kid again. He's a Stitch fan. And immediately, that set the trip where everything that he purchased for himself was going to be Stitch related.
Oh, yeah, the Stitch trip. I remember that because my daughter would do the same thing. Like, there would be some kind of a theme that just hit her, like, at the beginning of the trip. You know, whether she was collecting pins or... That's so true. I mean, I haven't thought of that in years. But she'd be like, oh, my gosh, this is the Little Mermaid trip. And every pin or every little thing she got was Little Mermaid. That reminds me so much of that.
Yes, he had a great collection by the time we left. And we just... We spent a solid good couple of hours there. And they appreciated the beauty of Disney Springs. They appreciated the features of what could be seen as a shopping area, as a very exciting area. We did the Christmas tree stroll. My kids love scavenger hunts. So that kept them very busy. We had brunch. I got a last minute brunch reservation at homecoming. Our eyes were probably too big right in the beginning because we sat down. We immediately ordered the maple bacon donuts and a basket of biscuits, not realizing that then all of our meals also came with biscuits. But they were delicious, and we packed up all the biscuits. You know, benefit of staying in a townhouse. We literally had biscuits every morning for the rest of our trip. But we had a delicious meal there. Everywhere we went, the servers were so happy. They were so friendly with the kids. We had a great time. Another thing we did in Disney Springs was the Coca-Cola flight tasting. Mm-hmm. And we went all out. We did all the sodas as well as all of the ice cream floats. It was a lot. All of us kind of hit our limit a little early. But the kids loved that. That was pretty cool. And it was a great view up there to look at all of Disney Springs from up top. That was a cool experience.
Yeah, I've been up there. I haven't. I didn't get the flights, though. I need to do that. It's on my bucket list. The only thing I did was I went through and looked at all the stuff. And I'm like, when I get home, like, what am I going to need this? Like, you guys know I drink Coke Zero like it's water. You know, I drink a lot of it, but I don't know if I need a shirt that admits that, you know, to the world, or like some kind of license plate, you know, for the wall. I don't need any of that stuff, but did you guys meet the polar bear, the Coke bear?
I mean, didn't see that. And I know that there was a bunch of pictures and I've seen that. I guess
he's probably not doing it because of COVID. I didn't think of that. Cause there's no meet and greets, but he's a free meet and greet. He's always over in the corner and nobody really knows he's there. So, but he's probably not there. And, you know, it was Christmas time. He's probably in a commercial or something. I don't know. Now, one of the things you mentioned too this day was the kids kind of secretly shop for each other. That's a cool idea, but how'd you pull it off?
Yeah, it was cool because I told you my son with the Stitch, and we're leading into my daughter's birthday. Her birthday is January 4th. So something happened where my son had an idea that he wanted to make her a custom magic band. And I remembered the store D-Tech had a kiosk where he could do that. So I told him I'll take him, and he created this awesome magic band for her. And my husband took my daughter back to World of Disney, which now it was later afternoon. So it was a much longer wait, but they waited and they surprised him with a Stitch face mask, which was great because he didn't really have a Disney themed fun mask. He actually had a SpongeBob mask. So this kind of
He wore a SpongeBob mask at Disney. It's a Nickelodeon. No, just kidding.
So, you know, we came back together and they surprised each other, and it was a sweet moment. And, you know, she wore her band for the rest of the trip and he wore his mask. His mask is in every single picture. And they even surprised me with a Disney fanny pack, which huge fan of the fanny pack for Disney trips. So I have an awesome one that I will wear. It around here
and
too.
It's special when the kids get it for you. I love it. You know, like I got a bucket hat for Christmas for my girls and I love it. I mean, I probably wouldn't have bought it myself, but I wear it all the time now. So I had it on before the podcast recording. The only thing is you can't put your headphones on with a bucket hat when you're doing a show. So it's not on. All right. The last thing you did that night, and again, never been. And again, this is kind of the joy of having a car to be able to get off site. Is you guys had Giordano's. I can never say it. I guess it's because I'm from St. Louis. But it's a pizza place that so many of my friends that are DVC that tend to rent cars or drive to Walt Disney World, they always go there. And they say, oh my gosh, you got to go there. Now, what was it? You have good pizza where you're from. I mean, I don't know. Was it worth it? Did you guys enjoy it?
It's a good call. So we went to college in the Midwest and, you know, made a lot of trips to Chicago. So what we say is, as long as you approach the pizza as it's not pizza, it's more of a meal. That's what we think of that. It's delicious. The kids wouldn't have it. They're not picky eaters, but they were happy with their pasta. But my husband and I, we certainly enjoyed it. And once again, we had so much leftover pizza. But we ate it. We ate it probably for breakfast the next day.
I think the best pizza I had up by Chicago was called Gino's East. Holy cow, that stuff was thick.
There's a pizza war for sure out there. A lot of good food out in Chicago.
With there with my buddy Scott and his family, yeah. In St. Louis, our St. Louis style is like just a little thin, you know, like a flat crust. It doesn't even, it's not a thick, it's just like it's paper under it with, you know, stuff on top and Provolone cheese. So it's very different than the thick stuff. It's good, but you can eat a whole pizza like nobody's business. All right, I want to make sure we get to all this. So next day, you guys head to Epcot. So walk us through, again, this is on the 27th. So you're in that week between Christmas and New Year's where the crowds are the highest of the entire year. Good call, though. I got to tell you this. Like, if you're thinking about trying to stay spaced in this 2020 COVID season, I mean, Epcot can have a lot of people, but it also has the most space to kind of get some elbow room. So give us your thoughts. What was it like?
Yeah. You know, like I said, we have been very crowded time. This was a 180 in our mind. It was beautiful that the parks didn't open till 10. To be able to rope drop something, not at 6 a.m. felt wonderful.
No kidding. That's so true. When I was there at 11, it was like freaky. I'm like, wait, I'm going to be one of the first ones in here, and I've already been to Olivia's and had a breakfast? Like, sit down. Yeah, it was the weirdest. It was like in the Twilight Zone, but you're right. It's nice.
Yeah, and so anytime we've gone to Epcot on past trips, we've stayed at Dolphin, and we've walked through International Gateway. So this was different driving. So I had to do my research. They said the gates opened about an hour before. So we did get there an hour before, but we were held. But we were through parking 9:15. We were through temperature check, bag check. What a beautiful thing to just walk through without having to, you know, have your bags look through. We were through the gates by 9:30. And this is the first trip that I decided to apply for a DAS pass for my son. We haven't needed it in the past with fast passes, and we actually did club level fast passes our past two trips. So it never crossed my mind, but I wanted to give it a shot and just have it. So we made a beeline for guest services. We were the only people there. I came armed with what I would say. Within a minute, we had the pass. It was so appreciated. And we got right in line for test track. And we were off test track by 10 o'clock.
Wow.
So
that's good.
again, amazing. And we've never gone through the regular line. We've only gone through the fast pass line. So my kids enjoyed it. They saw more cars. They missed creating their own car because they were confused then. How would the car be judged?
That's true. Yeah, I guess that's the sad part about integrating the whole thing, even though it doesn't matter. You know, it's like, like, oh, wait, how's this going to work? Yeah, I didn't think about that.
But they had a blast. I stay off of a lot of rides, kind of. I think like you, I get motion sickness, so I can't be a passenger in a car, especially at that speed. So I sit that one out. But the kids love it, and it was just so amazing that we had left the townhouse. We were there in 12 minutes. We were through our first ride, and the park was just officially opening.
And that's a great way to start the day too, because you just feel like you're ahead of the day. You feel like you're a step ahead all day long. When I get in a situation like that, when you're in the front, even if there's like not an advantage to like, oh, I'm getting in early because I'm a resort guest, or you know, back in the old extra magic hour mornings, even if it's a regular opening day, if I'm just in the front of that initial group, I'm just like riding the front half of the wave, and everybody's behind me, and I think it makes the whole day kind of feel better. So, how do you guys fill up your time? Did you guys get in as many attractions as you were hoping? You guys spend a lot of time in World Showcase, it looks like.
Yeah, we did. We, you know, in addition to the crowds, my husband and I, we wanted to go to Epcot. We enjoy Epcot. We wanted to enjoy World Showcase. So we just did Test Track and Soarin', and then we made the beeline right to World Showcase. We knew our kids would enjoy the Olaf scavenger hunt because they always enjoy the Remy scavenger hunt during Food and Wine. So we literally, we made a left. We started at Mexico. We had gotten the map and we went around the world. And before we were done, or by the time we got to our last country, we were there for 6 hours.
Wow.
We did the Mexico boat ride. What was great was, yes, we had to stand in line to get into the pavilion, maybe 10 minutes. By the time we were in the pavilion, there was no one around us. I've never been inside where I'm not elbow to elbow with people.
Right. yes.
It was amazing. And I think throughout the whole day, I kept looking at my husband and saying, this is Christmas week and it's that quiet. There were no lines for the food booths. There were no lines for the bathrooms. I think that's significant.
Right.
Unfortunately, this is the day where my son started to not feel that well. So the worry in our minds started to grow.
Right. Right. Anytime in the last six months as a parent, like your kid just even like feels off. You're just like, oh, this is it. You know, it's just kind of like our psychology at this point. You're right. And it had to been very stressful being down in Florida.
Yeah, but he didn't have a fever, and he would be great sometimes. You know, he'd chow down on fries and funnel cake, and then he would say he didn't feel well. And then he would run off to a ride. It was a lot of up and down, so we weren't sure. We did use the DAS pass at Frozen, but it wound up only being 20 minutes, but we waited that 20 minutes in the relaxation station at Akershus, and we were the only people in there.
Nice.
It was so strange. But it felt nice. It felt nice to just sit. We just made our way around the world. We ate. We had adult drinks. We went into the World Showplace. I've never been inside that building. We saw a great concert on the holiday of Kwanzaa. The kids liked the gingerbread display of the Capitol building, the Washington Monument. But my husband and I truly enjoyed ourselves. And that was a first. We were able to take a slow pace. It was nice.
And that, you know, and again, if you're new to this whole experience, you know, and the whole Disney thing, and this is kind of something you're just getting yourself into, like that week between Christmas and New Year's is typically just, you know, it's a lot of fun. I go many times because my wife and I were both teachers for years and years together. And so that was really one of the only times we could go. We go in the summer, we go spring break, and we usually had something else going on over spring break, so we couldn't make it then. So we would every other year or so go down the same week, but it was just, it's busy. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's wall-to-wall people. And it sounds like, you know, of course this year is a lot different, but you guys got to enjoy yourselves, you know, and especially when you have kids. I mean, your kids must be really self, I don't know, like entertained, you know, to be able to enjoy scavenger hunts and get engaged with things like that. And you guys were able to enjoy yourselves as adults at the same time. I just know a lot of kids, you know, after like World Showcase kind of loses its zing for kids a lot of times after, you know, a few hours, right? Let's go on. Sure. Gotta do rides because you're at Walt Disney World. So it sounds like, you know, everything kind of worked out that way that day, except for the kind of illness setting on for your son.
Yeah.
Which is what gotta be something. As a parent, something happens.
We were proud of them. You know, they were proud of themselves that by the time we said we were here for 6 hours just in the countries, you know, they truly enjoy it. So right. I'm proud of that for them.
That's awesome. Okay, so I want to make sure we get all this in. And honestly, so the next day is when you kind of took your son over to the urgent care. Sounds like everything worked out okay. I mean, any advice for folks that may ever find themselves in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I had, you know, just being a part of blogs and you know, groups, I knew some of the locations for COVID testing. We chose not to do the one that's most recommended because I wanted to have an appointment. My son had woken up at 4 a.m. that next day and he had a fever. So I wanted an appointment and I found a place in Celebration. It was about an 8-minute drive that had an appointment. They took him right away. They gave the COVID test right away because they wanted to rule that out. And it was a rapid test. And in those 15 minutes, we had to wait in the car for the results. It was so nerve-wracking. I mean, I was going through the motions of, all right, we're going to pack up the townhouse and we're going to go. And my son felt so guilty. He didn't want him to be the reason. But once the COVID test came back negative, a doctor saw him. They treated him for strep. They gave him an antibiotic, and we let him rest that day. And he was back to himself in 24 hours. So, thankfully, that was it. And none of else got whatever he had.
Yeah, my kids always got strep too. So I get that. And the symptoms you said were exactly like Paige used to get it all the time. Mallory's had it a couple times too. But yeah. It's not good when you have to do anything like that on vacation, but I'm so glad that it was that. Okay, so I'll be honest. There's one thing the next day that you guys did that I wanted to talk about more than this Disney stuff. I mean, I love talking Disney, but, you know, Gatorland. You guys went to Gatorland. Now, is this not the place that had the tragic fire? Wasn't there? Was that Gatorland? Or maybe some reptiles or something at a place down in Florida saw it caught on fire and some of the reptiles were killed, but... I mean, okay, I know it's sad, but Gatorland, I mean, this is like one of those things I love being inside the Disney bubble, but there's so much like historical Central Florida and like Space Coast stuff that I really am intrigued by, and Gatorland is right up on top of that list. Probably tourist trap stuff. I don't know. What'd you think? What's it like?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that you probably just described. You know, we took our time that next day, and we pulled up at about noon, and the line was so long just to get in. And we said, what did we do? You know, we went off course, we're trying something new. But they did a great job. It was relatively social distanced. Everyone was wearing their mask. And when we walked in, the amount of gators that we saw right off the bat just excited us all. We were there maybe 2 to 3 hours. It wasn't an all day thing. We did pay a little extra and my kids got to sit individually on an alligator and hold their jaws up.
Yeah.
Great. We felt a little bad. We felt bad. We felt bad for the animals. To the kids, they thought that was probably the coolest part of the trip. We definitely have cool pictures. But it was a pretty park. There are a lot of other animals to see. It was, again, it's not hot in December in Orlando, and everything just felt comfortable because we had to have our masks on the whole time. So we did enjoy doing something out of our comfort zone. And it will definitely be a memory that we'll remember.
That's what I was figuring. Either way you go, it's going to be a memory. That's what I say. You know, I once went to Silver Springs, which is up in Ocala, and it was just like, it was probably like, you know, it was almost like a time capsule. It was probably like, you know, Florida tourism in the 1960s. It was so weird because it wasn't a whole lot going on, but it was what they had was just relaxing. It was so neat. Okay, so now you also went over to Margaritaville, which is right near Animal Kingdom. So it newly opened in the last year. Yeah. And actually Disney was doing some promotions with them too. It's kind of weird. So what'd you think about over there?
It was beautiful. So where we stayed in our townhouse, it was about a 6-minute drive. And it was beautifully decorated for the holidays, awesome restaurants, a really great candy store, which is right up my alley. We ate at a restaurant called Ford's Garage, which was all Ford themed. I don't know if it's a chain. I had not heard of it. My son had done a biography project on Henry Ford. Nice. So he was excited to see all that. But it was a nice place to walk around for sure. I didn't see where the hotel was related to that, but apparently you can walk over from the hotel. There's a huge water park there. So it was a nice little side trip to go for dinner.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a fan of that. Well, we've been there. One of our podcast cruises, we spent the entire Jamaica day in the Margaritaville pool. It was a day I'll never forget. It was so just relaxing. Okay, so the next day, you guys head over to Wilderness Lodge for breakfast at Whispering Canyon. And you kind of make this a real chill. It ends up being like a pool day. Then you have a great meal back at the Windsor Hills where you guys were staying. So talk us through this day, because it just sounds like this is vacation. And I hope the kids enjoyed it, too.
I have always wanted to see Wilderness Lodge, especially decorated for the holidays. There was definitely some construction going on, but the tree in the lobby was gorgeous. I've heard a lot about Whispering Canyon, and I know it's probably toned down a little bit, but I thought the kids would get a kick out of it. I was surprised how crowded it was in there for being a hotel that's not open right now. Mm-hmm. We had to wait over 35 minutes beyond our reservation to get sat. But the kids had a blast. We wound up with an amazing waiter. My daughter was wearing a birthday button because it was now only a couple days before her birthday. He played with her the whole time. He brought her a special dessert, which was celery with whipped cream.
Oh, great.
And she wound up eating it. They had a blast. And they also had a special New Year's Eve scavenger hunt because their traditional Mickey hunt couldn't be completed because of the construction. And it took us all over the resort, Copper Creek, Boulder Ridge. It was so beautiful. And the sun was shining. The Wisconsin bowl game was on. My husband sat at Geyser Point on the water. I wound up taking the kids all around. And I just enjoyed looking around, and they had fun. So yeah, it was a nice calm day. We ended that day with a pool day. But what a beautiful resort. I think that's high on my list for next time.
Agreed. Especially that time of year. It is just, when you think of like wintertime, Wilderness Lodge. I mean, even though we are in Central Florida, but it's as close as you can get down there. Now, you ended the day, though, with a Boston lobster feast. So was this back at your place you were staying and never had one? I'm from the Midwest. What's that all about? Was that pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, that was on that 192 in Kissimmee somewhere.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah, it was something more for my husband. He likes his seafood, as my daughter. My son and I, we don't eat any seafood, but they had an a la carte menu. They went pound for pound, the two of them. Lobsters, crab legs, shrimp. It was fun. We have yet another iconic picture in front of the restaurant with a huge lobster statue.
I hope they got bibs or something, you know, like it's.
Oh,
like,
they both had their bibs on.
Very nice.
It was fun. It was fun to see the local area.
Exactly. Like so we drive over to Give Kids the World sometimes for, fundraisers and stuff that we do. And so you do get off the bubble and you go down 192 or, go out by 4 and stuff. And you see all those. And I'm not kidding. For some reason, it's how my brain works. But I'm like, that looks like it's more fun than Walt Disney World. Like, I just want to try. Like, it's like. I'm not getting on the helicopter rides. I know those are like $15. Nope. I give you 20 not to get on that helicopter, but you just see stuff and I'm like, that is so obscure. And I'm like drawn to it. So one day, one time we go down, we have time. I'm seriously going to go out there and just like explore and try some of those restaurants. Cause that sounds like another place I would love. My wife, daughters, no way, but yeah, just drop me off, pick me up in an hour and we'll go. Fun.
Yeah, you'll enjoy.
Okay, so last day you guys there, New Year's Eve, before you guys flew back home, let's get into this real quick. You guys went back to Disney Springs, so walk us through this day, then you went back to your Windsor Hills.
Yeah, we let the kids choose what they wanted to do on the last day, and Disney Springs wound up being such a highlight that they wanted to go back. So luckily it was warm this day, so it was more enjoyable to be walking around. We weren't in our winter coats and hats this time. And we just hit their favorites. We went back to World of Disney. We went, we actually didn't let them go back into the Lego store, but we got Goofy's candy. We ended up eating at the City Works Poorhouse by the NBA experience. It was a bummer that that wasn't open. That's something my son would have loved. But it was a good lunch there. The kids were complaining when we left. They thought it was too quick, but I think we did it at Disney Springs. We covered our ground. So that was our last kind of Disney experience. And then we were at the pool, and then we ended the evening at Icon Park. So that huge Ferris wheel wheel that you can probably see from the highways, and dinner at the Sugar Factory, which wound up being an absolute blast, especially for New Year's Eve and celebrating my daughter's birthday. That was a fun spot.
Now, see, Sugar Factory, I think they have one of those in Chicago, because I was back in the hotel working. It was just like a crazy day. But I know we were up there with the Gardeners and my family, and they all went. Is that the place that has the big alcoholic or non-alcoholic drinks that are like $40, but they have like cotton candy and stuff coming out? Is that same kind of place? Because I mean, they have still not stopped talking about that place. Everyone, I'm Scott, Elizabeth, my wife, my daughters, like crazy. Like, I didn't go. Yeah. It's like my biggest regret that I didn't get to go there.
It's an event to go. Exactly. I mean, it's actually here in New York. I that's where I celebrated my 40th birthday with my family. And then knowing that there was one there and it could be for New Year's Eve and my daughter's birthday. I mean, they were fun there, much more fun than the New York location. Each table was celebrating something. You get to pick your own song. The whole restaurant gets quiet. Your song comes in. They bring you your milkshake with the sparkler and they sing. It was an absolute blast.
I have to find this. That's a big regret. Everybody, they still talk about it. It was 5 years ago. We went up for spring break to meet up. Yeah, crazy. Well, hey, it sounds like you had a great trip. I mean, very different trip report today, and I love that because we got to talk about some new things. So thanks for taking the time, and I hope you guys have a great 2021. I know you work in education, so thanks for doing that. I know it's not an easy job this year.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me and talking about something different.
All righty. Don't forget, today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today. Great specials for that 2021 trip all the way up through September 25th. Guys, it's still January. Get that discount, get that trip on the books, and make this year better. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Even the small purchases do help. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys are awesome. You are keeping the show going. I appreciate you so very much. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter. We're at beourguestmike. Drop on in. I'll say hello. Or beourguestpod. That's Ricky. She doesn't give me the password. I can't even log in on that one. But hey, if you do Be Our Guest Pod, you'll be talking to Ricky. And of course, subscribe to the show on YouTube and Facebook, and you can see all the videos from when we record. I'm sitting right in front of Spaceship Earth right now as we speak. All right, we are going to be back together on Wednesday where we answer your listener questions. And on Friday, Pam and Ricky will be here as well. And who knows, we'll be talking about the Disney news of the week or some fun Disney topic. So we are going to get out of here. For Jess, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. But it's time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.